In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We have a good shepherd. His name is Jesus. He laid down his life for the sheep. That's us. Bah. He calls us by name. He promises us that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, became the Lamb of God on the cross, Shepherd and Lamb. I tell you, we need to be shepherded. We need people that have the heart of Jesus so that they would shepherd the people, because the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm looking at the 14th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, 24th verse. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. The grace of God was upon them. What does that mean? That the people had come to know Jesus Christ, that they were prophesying, that they were speaking in other languages. Yes, this happened to the Gentiles, but the first thing is they came to know Jesus Christ. And when they came, they had gathered the church together, and they rehearsed all that God had done with them. Isn't that wonderful? That should be happening at the church, rehearsing, telling everyone what God has done for us, what God is doing for us. This is so important, and we rarely hear the message. I heard of a founder of a religious order. He had prayed with a woman who had cancer, and after the Lord healed the woman, and he was like a little child telling his community, "The Lord healed that little woman, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful?" Yes, that's wonderful. But you see, we need to know what God is doing for us so that we can tell other people. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Thanks be to God. There is only one new man, Jew and Gentile, and the head is Jesus Christ. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. Chapter 15. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, "Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." My, this is totally against what Paul knows to be true. I'm looking at Galatians 2, verse 15. "We who are Jews by nature and not Gentile sinners, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, by circumcision, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, circumcision. For by circumcision or works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, therefore Christ the minister of sin? No. Christ the minister of sin? No. God forbid. For I build up again the things which I destroyed. I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. these Judaizers came in saying you've got to be circumcised in order to be a Christian. And listen to what Paul says in the third chapter of Galatians. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently sent forth crucified? How did they see the crucified Jesus? Through the preaching of Paul. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, circumcision, or by hearing with faith? You could see that in Galatia, they were having miracles, and God was moving by grace through faith. I'm telling you, this is the whole story, that God moves by grace through faith. We are not justified by works of the law. We are justified by the grace of God, which gives us faith and produces the works that God calls us to walk in. We are not justified by our works. We are justified by grace through faith, hearing and believing. They heard that Christ was crucified and rose from the dead, and they believed and gave their life to Jesus. And God was working among the Galatian community miracles. Miracles should be happening. Miracles should be happening in every church. Why? Because Christ has died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Miracles should be happening. I'm telling you this reality, that miracles should be happening. Let's continue the 15th chapter of Acts of the Apostles. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders and ask about this question: are the Gentiles need circumcision? And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto the brethren. You see, this is the most important part, that when they started to witness about the conversion of the Gentiles, people got filled with joy. Isn't that wonderful that they got saved through the preaching of the word, hearing with faith? Isn't it wonderful? You see, what are we proclaiming in church every day? What are we proclaiming in church every day? Father Joseph, a couple of weeks ago, started his homily by saying, "What has God done for you?" And several people responded, "What has God done for you?" Yes, what has God done for you? That he has made you a child of God. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light, but we know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him. Why? Because we shall see him as he is. What has God done to you? He saved you by the blood of Jesus. He does miracles among us by the grace of God. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and by the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them, how God had converted the Gentiles. Peter had the same experience when he was in Cornelius' house. He preached the word of God, and the Spirit of God came upon them, and they started to prophesy and speak in other languages. Peter could not forbid baptism, and so he baptized Cornelius' house. But there rose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needed to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the whole law of Moses. Now they bring this to the Jerusalem community. They bring this to Peter and James and the elders. Do you need to be circumcised? And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. What matter? Do you need to be circumcised to be a Christian? And when they had much discussion, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's Cornelius' house. And God, who knows the hearts of them, witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did to us. How did they know the Holy Spirit came to Cornelius' house? They were prophesying, and they were speaking in other languages, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do we tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? In other words, the yoke of the law was not possible to bear. And why should we tell them, the Gentile believers, that they need to put on the yoke of the law, which we couldn't keep? It's by grace through faith. Oh, yes, this is a very important experience, because Paul even says, you foolish Galatians, who has put a spell on you? Did you come to know Christ through circumcision, or did you come to know Christ by hearing with faith? That's why the gospel has to be preached, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's very, very important that the Lord be preached everywhere, that Jesus Christ be preached, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. In other words, we were saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Gentiles are saved the same way, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Paul and Barnabas, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. See, they're telling them about the miracles, about the wonders, about the signs that God did with the Gentile believers, because the gospel was preached. Wherever the gospel is preached, there should be signs and wonders and miracles, because God hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, so they're sharing about the miracles that God did. We remember one of the miracles was Aeneas, who was crippled, that Paul said, get up and walk. And he began to walk. Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out them a people for his own. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and I will rebuild again the tabernacle of David. What's the tabernacle of David? 24-hour worship every day, which is fallen down. I tell you, we have that in the Catholic Church. At every moment, Mass is being celebrated. The one sacrifice of Calvary is being celebrated at every second in the world. That it's 24/7, 365 days a year, that the Eucharist is being celebrated at any moment now throughout the world. It's the same sacrifice of Calvary. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles turn to God. In other words, we don't want to lay a burden on them that they don't need. We couldn't keep the law. We're going to expect them to keep the law? It's not about the law, because if it was about the law, Paul would have been perfect. He was perfect for the law. But Jesus came, and by grace through faith, he gave his life to Jesus. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of the old time hath in every city preached him, being read in the synagogues every day. and pleads the apostles and elders in the whole church to send chosen men of their company to Antioch, and Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, the chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren, which are the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. What were the trouble? You've got to be circumcised. They've troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, of whom we gave no such commandment. In other words, the leaders of the Jerusalem church gave no such commandment that you have to be circumcised in order to be a Christian. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. We heard what Paul went through. He was shipwrecked. He was thrown into the sea. He was beaten with the rods. He was had 39 lashes 3 or 4 times. Yes, that they risked their life for the sake of Jesus. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than what was necessary. In other words, we don't want to put any burdens on you that you need to be circumcised. It's by grace through faith. And you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. So goodbye, he says. Fare thee well. And when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read it, they rejoiced for the consolation. In other words, you know, they put doubt into these people's minds. Am I really a Christian? I wasn't circumcised. Now from the leaders in Jerusalem, they take this burden off of them and say, you don't need to be circumcised. You don't need to keep the Jewish precepts. We are saved by grace through faith. And how do we get our faith? Hearing and believing. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. They were prophets, so they spoke prophetically. What did they speak prophetically? That circumcision was not necessary. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch. What did they do? Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. It's very important, this whole experience of teaching and preaching the word of God. That's basic. I told you yesterday that the first vocation of the priest is to preach the word of God. The first vocation of the bishop is to preach the word of God, which leads us to celebrate the Eucharist. Every day we hear the word of God. Every day at the Eucharist we hear the word of God. But people need to preach that word, to be insistent in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. Oh yes, that word needs to be preached. That word needs to be preached. And Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch. What were they doing? Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. And what else happened as they preached the word of the Lord? Signs and wonders and miracles. Oh yes, Paul talked to the Jerusalem community about the signs and wonders that has happened to the Gentiles, just as it happened to the man at the beautiful gate. God heals his people through the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Things have not changed. If anything has changed, it's us. I know the old story about the man and the woman. When they were going together, you couldn't tell where one started and one finished. They were so close together. 25 years later, one is at the door and the other one's at the wheel. And the wife said, you know, we used to be so close together. What's happened? And the husband said, I never moved. I'm telling you, we are the ones that move from God. He does not move from us. He tells us that no one can snatch us out of the hand of God the Father or of Jesus. No one can snatch us out of the hands of God. Paul and Barnabas part company. Why? We're going to see. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord. In other words, they want to make sure that people are continuing to live the word of God and to grow in the Spirit. And let's see how they are doing. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, Mark. But Paul thought that was not a good idea to take John, Mark with them. For John, Mark departed from them in Pamphylia, and he went not with them to their work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Barnabas took John, Mark, and sailed unto Cyprus. You see, no one was perfect. Even the early church wasn't perfect. You know, there wasn't that forgiveness that needed to be done. We see that probably forgiveness came in one of the letters to Timothy, that Paul forgave John Mark. You see, we're talking humanity. Humanity hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. The apostles had the same experiences that we have. Paul and Barnabas split up because of John Mark. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So what are the things we've learned today? Salvation comes by grace through faith. That the Galatian community heard the gospel of the Lord and they turned to Jesus. We are not saved by works of the law. We are not saved by the law. We are not saved by circumcision. And we are saved by grace through faith. And what else have we learned today? That the apostles were human. That they were human. And when they went to different communities, they would tell of the wonders that God had done. The miracles, the signs, and the wonders. We need to hear those things. We need to see that God is an active God, that He continues to do things, and that we are His children, and no one can snatch us out of the hands of the Father or out of the hands of Jesus. We also heard that the Council of Jerusalem told them that they did not need to be circumcised, that they need to restrain from fornication or animals that were strangled, and by drinking blood, they had to be keep away from that, keep away from food offered to idols. So God continues to work in His church. And I told you the tabernacle of David is 24/7 worship. And that's true. I believe that. But we are also doing that. We are also doing every day, every minute, the Eucharist is being celebrated by some priest throughout the world. Every day, every minute, every hour. But I want to see 24-hour worship, singing and praising God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We would see the action of God like we never have seen it. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the same miracle-working God. Touch the people right now. Heal them. Heal them in their lungs, Lord Jesus Christ. Heal them in their eyes, Lord Jesus Christ. Heal them in their knees, Lord Jesus Christ, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.